In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. We've been discussing the disaster of rebellion in the story of the prodigal son and the elder brother. So if you have an opportunity to open your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. We were looking at the two types of rebellion in this chapter, the inner rebellion that we saw in the heart of the elder brother, and the outward rebellion that we saw in the heart of the prodigal son. We said he wanted his father's gifts, but not his father's presence. And so he gathered all because he had no intention of ever returning home. Then we said, thirdly, he thought he'd left his father's God, but he discovered that God could send a famine in the far country. When you determine you're going to have a heart of rebellion, God can do whatever is necessary to get your attention. He can send a pandemic like we are experiencing in our country to get our attention. Now, for me, I was describing last time the rebellion that I had during my college years, and God sent an ulcer. An ulcer. I mean, it happened very quickly. The next day I went to the doctor. They did an upper GI series of x-rays, and the doctor said, son, you have an ulcer. And I said, sir, I can't have an ulcer. I'm only 19. He said, I don't care if you're 19 or 91. You have an ulcer. What are you worried about? What's causing you stress? You see, God had to get my attention because nothing else was getting my attention. I was walking further and further away from God. I was making more and more decisions without ever praying about it or seeking godly counsel because I didn't want godly counsel. I had a heart of rebellion. And so God said, I can send ulcers, I can send kidney stones, I can send cancer, I can send an accident, I can send, I can send, I can send. Just like God sent the famine into the far country that caused the young prodigal son to join himself to a Gentile. Now that word to join himself means to glue together. Even though he left home trying to seek independence. Isn't that so much like us when we have a rebellious spirit? We want to be on our own. We want to be in charge. And God says, how's that working for you? We become a slave or a servant to a rebellious spirit. See, rebellion is giving myself over to the realm and power of Satan. It's leaving the protection of the umbrella of parental authority, if you will. Or if you're a wife, it's rebelling against your husband's authority. Because when you got married, it said to honor and obey. Now, a lot of wives don't want to remember that part of the vows. They don't want to obey a husband's authority. But back in Genesis chapter 3, God said to Adam and Eve after the fall, he said, Eve, you're going to want to control your husband, but he will rule over you. That's a part of God's plan. And so rebellion is giving ourselves over to the realm and the power of Satan, who wants us to rebel against God's plan of authority. So whenever we do that, we find ourselves under the authority of someone who loves us a whole lot less. It's kind of like the teenager that rebelled against his parents' authority and then went to school and rebelled against his school authorities and gets kicked out of school. And so he says, I'm going to join the Marines. and the parents laugh. Because if there is ever someone under authority, it's someone in the armed forces. And so joins the Marines, that drill sergeant talks about his mama and screams in his face, and if he rebels against that authority, he winds up in the brig. So how's that working for you? Not very well. Because you see, whatever we do, when we rebel against authority, we find ourselves under the authority of someone who loves us a whole lot less. You remember 1 Samuel chapter 15? In that passage of Scripture, we have the story of Saul. And the Bible tells us that he decided he wasn't going to obey the directives of the prophet Samuel. And when he was caught, verse 23, Samuel is speaking, he said, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king." Wow. It's as the sin of witchcraft. You see, witchcraft is opening yourself up to every attack of Satan. 2 Timothy 2, verses 22 to 26 tell us exactly how Satan uses that. So rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's in essence making somebody else my authority. And when you go into witchcraft, you're making Satan your authority. And then it talks about stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Idolatry. You see, Saul was an idolater whose idol was himself. Himself. And whenever I worship myself and my will and my way and my plan and my thoughts and my ideas, I become an idolater. So rebellion, it's the outward symptom of the inward attitude. Now, the biblical definition tells us that rebellion is believing a lie. Believing a lie. If you read Isaiah 14, you'll see that Lucifer rebelled against God, and the lie that he believed was that he could become as God. He believed that lie. The same thing is true when a teenager believes that his parents are against him. He rebels. Or when he believes his music is okay and not harmful, he rebels. Or when he doesn't see why his parents are concerned over his choice of friends, he rebels. Now, let me tell you this. Rebellion in itself is not the issue. Relationship is the issue. See, teenagers rebel against relationships that have gone sour. Relationships that have gone sour. And we see the same thing taking place in the heart and life of Saul. We just read where God said, "You will cease to be my choice of a king." Because as you go back to the first five verses of 1 Samuel 15, God told him to destroy all of the Amalekites, their king, all of their wealth and everything else. But in verses 7 to 23, we see that he made up his mind. He was going to do it his way. His way. The disaster of rebellion. Is God speaking to your heart this morning? Are there some areas where you have chosen to rebel, maybe against your pastor, maybe against your spiritual leaders, maybe against your husband, maybe against your parents, maybe against your boss? Whatever it is, it's a heart of rebellion, and it leads to disaster. Now, let me call your attention to parental authority and our training of young people to have a heart for God. You see, if it's an issue of relationships, then it has to be built around my teenager's relationship with God first. Because if his relationship with God is strong, then it will be easy for his relationship with me as his dad to be strong. But when the relationship with God is not strong, and the relationship with dad is not strong, then you begin to see the seeds of rebellion that only get stronger as they're ignored. Now, why do teens rebel? I want to focus on nine different things that we as parents can often do incorrectly that hurt our teenagers and tempt them to rebel. The first one is when promises are not kept by their authorities. When promises are not kept, it causes the foundation of trust to be shattered. You know, when mom and dad took the vow till death do us part, then divorce and remarriage leave the children emotionally abandoned. See, if parents don't keep these promises to live with others who may be difficult, then why should teenagers have to keep these promises? See, many teens are a million miles away from home, even though they still live within the walls of the home, because they've seen some issues that don't square. Or how about this? Number two, when authorities refuse to admit when they're wrong. Teenagers are tempted to rebel when their authorities refuse to admit that they're wrong. And let's face it, we as parents, we know there are times that we're just wrong. We just messed up. I have a book in my library entitled Teenage Rebellion. It's probably 25 years old. During that time, a medical doctor and a pastor interviewed 100 acknowledged rebels. They all said, yes, we have rebelled against our authorities, and we've rebelled against God. And so they asked them, would you fill out a questionnaire? Would you do a survey with us? We want to find out what has led you into your rebellion. They said, sure. One of the questions that was asked these 100 rebels was this: what is one thing that you wish you could change about your dad? Wow. Do you know what the number one answer was from these 100 rebellious teenagers? The number one answer given by a large majority of them was this: I just wish my dad would admit when he's wrong. Isn't that amazing? I just wish my dad would admit when he's wrong. Because you see, when we as authorities refuse to admit when we're wrong, it causes anger that can often lead to bitterness in the hearts and lives of our teenagers. A third reason is when authorities or parents have the wrong priorities. The wrong priorities. So many times we as parents think that the most important thing we can do is provide financially for our children, giving them things, maybe big things, cars or small things. But often the time at work, the time away from spending time with the family, gives wrong priorities. It's been so neat to watch a neighbor of ours who is home from work, probably working at home because of the coronavirus that we're experiencing, and everybody's being furloughed or laid off or whatever. But this dad is always out in the driveway watching his little children play with their little scooter wheels or whatever they are, and we'll see him walking in the neighborhood with them, and it's just so sweet. You know, it could be that that dad didn't have time to do that before, but now he does. Now maybe God might be giving him an opportunity to learn some new priorities. You see, living at home is life like a circle of friends holding hands and looking inward for signals of acceptance and love. That's what God wants in our home. For us to be in a circle, all holding hands, looking inward, and we're looking to each other for love and acceptance and knowing that we belong. But the opposite of that is a circle of folks holding hands but looking outward, getting their signals of accepted values and conduct and standards from somebody else. Next time we're together, we'll talk about that. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.